I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا
نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك
يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madri channel, you're watching I Love Islam. Alhamdulillah. Today we'll be talking about the lessons of Karbala. What is Karbala? What are these lessons? What is all this all about? We're going to be talking about this. So can all the kids make sure you watch this program till the end. Before we do anything else, let's straight go to the quiz of the day.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
It's quiz of the day. The question is, let's look at the question of the day. The question is, which son of Sayyiduna Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu survived in Karbala? Which son of Sayyiduna Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu survived in Karbala? That's the question. Now it's time for us to move on to our first segment of the day, My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, My Islam. This is where we get a chance to learn about so many beautiful things about our religion. In this segment, we specially choose those topics that express the greatness and importance about Islam. And sometimes we touch upon Islamic history. And today, our topic is Lessons of Karbala. Today, our focus will be to learn some lessons from this tragedy, from this whole incident. That's our discussion today, inshallah. And before we start our topic, we have some kids here in the studio, and also, by the way, we have some kids in the studio. Some are sitting here in the panel, some are behind the camera. Inshallah, they'll be joining us shortly, inshallah. So I'm going to go towards my right side first, and let's quickly see who has joined us. We have Baba Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
First of all, my name is not Baba Ali, it's Ali. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. Are you sure your name is not Baba Ali?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Should we do a vote in the studio?
What?
Should we do a vote in the studio? What if most people put their hand up to confirm that you're a Baba?
Then
okay, what?
Just do a vote then.
Ali, are you ready for the day?
Yeah.
Now let's move to the next person now. It's Muhammad Hassan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Hassan? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. Are you excited as well?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
MashaAllah. On this side, MashaAllah, we have Brother Arkam. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Arkam bhai, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Are you okay?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. Next to you, we have Ibrahim from Bradford. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Ibrahim?
I'm good, alhamdulillah.
You okay?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. Keep you well. Alhamdulillah, as you've seen, MashaAllah, we have some kids here in the studio, and there are some kids who are sitting here behind the cameras as well. InshaAllah, they'll be joining us shortly, InshaAllah, Azzawajal. Today's topic is Lessons of Karbala. Just like as a story, are you aware of what happened in Karbala? Ali, you tell me first.
So,
do you actually understand? Do you know? Have you heard it before?
Yeah, kind of. No, like the full story, but I know like.
Tell me the main thing, like what actually happened.
So Imam Hussein was like fighting.
Who is Imam Hussein?
Imam Hussein was the grandson of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yeah.
And he fought for Islam and he protected Islam and he did it with like a bunch of people. There were 72 people who died and then there were 82 people. Then
how many people? How many people were with Imam Hussein in Karbala?
82 people, I think, in total.
Mm,
and then 10 people, they were in prison. And then 72 people, passed away.
So if there was two groups in Karbala. One group was the people of Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And on the other side, there was a huge army. Huge army. How many people were there?
I don't know about that.
Around like
22,000 people. Yes, around 22,000 people. And they were probably more scared. They were probably more fearing. What kind of army is that? This is called bullying. This is called cruelty. Why were these people surrounded? And that's something that we need to be aware of. So can someone please tell me? Ibrahim, do you know the answer? Yeah. Why were these people surrounded by 22,000 people? Come on, Hassan.
So Yazid, he wanted to be leader, so he wanted to kill Imam Musa and Mullah Bibliot.
That wasn't the reason. What was the reason?
Wanted to destroy Islam, and then destroy Islam, so then he could like control the Muslims.
No, here we're talking about the main thing. What was the main thing? Why were these people surrounded?
So they couldn't get to Kufa.
They couldn't get to Kufa. They were traveling somewhere and they were surrounded in a plain land called Karbala.
Yeah.
When they reached to Karbala, they were surrounded by an army. Yeah. And then slowly, like, thousands of people joined that army. It became 22,000 people. Yeah. They were surrounded and they were not allowed to move ahead from here. And they were not allowed to go to Kufa. Kufa is another place which is past Karbala. So, there's two questions here now for you guys. What were these people doing in Karbala? Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with his family, with his kids, with his companions, may Allah ta'ala be pleased with all of them. What were they doing in Karbala? Does anyone know? Do you know, Ibrahim?
I think they were trying to fight people.
They weren't there to fight. They were not there to fight. How can some people go in the battlefield with babies and they had women with them as well? They wouldn't go take their family with them in the battlefield. They had women there, they had family members there. They had children, they had elder people as well. They had young people, elder people. They had some people who were unwell. They were with them as well. So what were they doing in Karbala?
So the people of Kufa, before that, they had wrote like many letters, like thousands of letters to Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, to come to Kufa and become leader. So Imam Hussein, the people of Medina, they said to Imam Hussein, don't go because they might betray, so don't go first, send somebody there. So then they sent Muslim bin Aqil, may Allah be pleased with him. And then when Muslim bin Aqil, may Allah be pleased with him, went there, everybody was like, marhaba, marhaba. So Muslim bin Aqil, may Allah be pleased with him, sent a letter to Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, to come to Kufa because he thought everything was okay.
You want to say something? Why were they there?
So they wanted to protect Islam.
They wanted to protect Islam. MashaAllah, first of all, I want to say well done to Hassan and Ali. I'm actually impressed, MashaAllah. You're actually aware of the incidents. Obviously, the kids, kids won't know the exact stories and things according to the full details. There'll be certain things that they won't be aware of because the kids, I'm actually impressed, MashaAllah. So well done for both of you. Now, we want to give them a quick summary, just summary for the kids. What was Imam Hussein and his people doing in Karbala? If you could let the kids know, these kids watching this program, possibly there's kids, they have not even heard about this before.
So Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, who is the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was born in Medina and he lived in Medina. And then the people of Kufa, they sent letters to Imam Hussein, like Hassan mentioned, that come to Kufa and teach about Islam, so we know we will support you, we will help you, and these kind of things. then there wasn't just one letter, there were many, many, many letters that they were sending. And then now Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Medina, he was thinking that they're sending me letters. Now, if I don't go to them, they've got an excuse that we asked Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to come and teach us about the religion, to spread the religion, so we understand it properly, so our beliefs are not corrupt. But he didn't come. So then Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he then asked the senior, there were still companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who were alive in Medina and in Makkah. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked them as well. So they told Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, some of them, that don't go to Kufa. In the past, they have betrayed your father. Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem was the father of Imam Hussein. And they said, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously they loved the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They loved Imam Hussein. So they wanted what was best for Imam Hussein. So they told Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, don't go. We know the history of the people of Kufa, that they always betray people. But Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that right now there's no physical sign or there's nothing apparent that they're going to do the same thing now. So Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent Muslim bin Aqil forward and that just to check what the situation is there. Then when they got the news that everything seems okay, now Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that there's nothing really stopping me from going there, because the people there, they're welcoming me, they're sending these letters, they're asking me to come. Now if I don't go, then they've got an excuse. So then Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was going towards Kufa with his family. Now some people think that they were going to fight Yazid and his army. Like you mentioned before, if you're going to fight, you don't take babies with you. You don't take women with you. You wouldn't take 80 people to fight 20,000 people. So they were going to war, to Kufa, to move that so that they could fulfill the invitation of those people. Those people were inviting them, so they wanted to go and fulfill that invitation so they could teach them about Islam. And then on the way, Karbala is on the way, they stopped at Karbala. They were stopped by the army of Yazid. Yazid didn't want Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu to get to Kufa, because he was an evil person who wanted to be the leader. And he thought that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu starts teaching them people, they will start following Imam Hussein rather than following him. So then he instructed his army to stop Imam Hussein from reaching Kufa. Then slowly, slowly the army started to come in Karbala, and they surrounded the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his family. And then there was one person from the army who changed sides. But later on in a different segment, we'll talk about that person. But there was one person who changed sides. And then,
so these people, they were traveling to Kufa.
They were traveling to Kufa.
It's on the invitation of the people of Kufa.
Yes.
So the people of Kufa were calling them, especially Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein traveled with a big group, a huge family and friends, companions together.
Just think about this.
Traveling over there. And in the middle, they were captured. Why were they captured?
They were captured to, one of the reasons is to stop them from getting to Kufa.
So then the people of Yazid, they were fearing of something.
Yeah.
What was that fear?
They were fearing that
if Imam Hussein reaches Kufa, what will happen?
Then all the people will start following Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala.
So here is, you could say, from Yazid point of view, it was like a battle, battle of power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yazid wanted the throne. He wanted to become the king. He wanted to become the leader of the Muslim world. He wanted everyone to follow him. And he was forcing people to accept him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Yazid was forcing people to accept him as the leader. And he was doing that in other cities. He was sending his people with messages, his governors to different areas, and telling everyone to make sure, they're telling everyone now the new leader is Yazid, now follow him, he's your next person. He's trying to get everyone to follow Yazid. They were doing that in different places, in different parts, different cities. Yazid was bothered, he was really concerned. Look, I can force things on everyone else. But the beloved grandson of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive, and everyone loves him. The Sahaba who were there, the companions and other people who were there, they had so much love and respect for Imam Hussein. And one main reason is because Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the beloved grandson of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And they had so much love. So Yazid thought, I can never win people's hearts until Imam Hussein agrees. If Imam Hussein agrees that I'm the leader, only then truly I can win the hearts of the whole nation. So what he did, he told one of his governors to go to Imam Hussein when Imam Hussein was in the Medina Sharif, go to him and say to Imam Hussein, oh grandson of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, now because the next leader now is going to be Yazid, and if you accept him, if you give allegiance to him, if you accept him as a leader, then Yazid will be so happy and he'll give you so much more, give you so much wealth. He will look after you. You will not have to worry about anything. So he was playing with words
and bribe them.
Tried to bribe them. I don't know if the bribe word might be a bit hard for the kids. But he was trying to, tell them that if you accept Yazid, then everything will be happy for you. Then, Yazid is going to be looking after you. He'll honor you. You'll have the best award. Yeah, you're the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So he was having all that, that bribing. Yeah. However, there was one thing that it was stopping Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu to accept Yazid as a leader. There was one thing. What was that?
So Yazid claimed that he was a Muslim, but he drank like alcohol and he did bad stuff.
So Yazid had some bad characteristics.
Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, the thing that stopped him from like not accepting it is because Yazid, he knew he wasn't like a good person, because Yazid, the dad, before Yazid, he
Yazid
was
Yazid's dad is one of the great companions of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He was the first king of Islam. His name is Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. However, Yazid himself, he was a bad person. He was a cruel guy. Yeah. He was a nasty person. Yeah. So this person, Yazid, he knew that until Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu agrees that I am the leader, I can't win the hearts of people. It's going to be hard for me. Yeah. And he tried to enforce things and push things to these group of people and to get them to agree. But Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew one thing about Yazid. He knew Yazid is not the right man for the right job. Yazid had so many bad characteristics in him. He was an evil person. You have to understand this. Everyone who's watching this program, we need to realize this. No, to become a Muslim leader, it's not something you can go to the market and buy something and like, we got a new Muslim leader. To become a Muslim leader, there are so many conditions. There are so many requirements you have to meet. You have to fulfill the criteria to get this role, to be selected for that role. And someone who crosses the boundary of Islam, he doesn't follow the true teachings of Islam, he's lazy in his prayer, he drinks alcohol. Alcohol is not allowed in Islam, it's haram. Yeah? Someone who listens to music and other things, these are not preferred, these are not encouraged in Islam. And the someone who has no respect for family, for women. He did all sort of bad things. Yazid was a person, in the modern days you can call it, he was like a chiller. Yeah, he'll just go out and do all sort of things and without realizing what's good and what's bad. No, he's just crossing all the boundaries of being a good person. He was not a nice person. He did not meet the criteria to become a leader of Muslims. And Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew this. And the only thing Imam Hussein said to that person, the governor who came to him, he said to him, I will not accept Yazid as the next leader. That was it. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not start a war or something with them. He did not start a campaign against him. He said that, look, I'm not going to accept him. I'm not going to accept Yazid as a leader because he doesn't fulfill the criteria. He doesn't meet all the checklist to become a leader. Why should I accept him as a leader? He is not the right person. Yeah. So we need to realize this. Sometimes a father it could be a very noble and a great person. But if the son, now it doesn't fulfill the criteria, that doesn't mean he can come in the place of the father. In the Muslim world, we have to look at the criteria. The standard is Islam. And some scholars say the yardstick is Islam. So when you measure someone who's doing good, who's doing bad, we look at that person according to the boundaries and principles of Islam. And Yazid was nowhere near now to become just a good Muslim. Forget about becoming a leader of Muslims. That's just way high. That's a very high standard to become Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's not a joke. That's not a small thing. Yeah. Yazid did not even fulfill the basic criteria to become a regular or just a normal good Muslim. He wasn't that type of person. And Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stood firm. He stood firm. And then, you know, fast forwarding the incident in Karbala, what was the point bringing of 822,000 people there? Yazid and his people, one, it was a sign of their cowardice. They were scared. Inside, they were fearing. They knew they're messing around with Imam Hussein, who's the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, and on the other side, why did they have to bring a huge army? They were trying to pressurize Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But you know what Imam Hussein taught us? Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu taught us, no matter what happens, no matter even a mountain falls on you, like this means like so much problems come to you in your life, so much harm comes to you, always stand with the truth. Stand with the truth. Remember, some people say in our day and age, what do people say these days? Majority is authority. So if you look at this now in the plains of Karbala, majority were on the Yazid side. Thousands and thousands of people were with Yazid. Yeah, and although Yazid wasn't there, that was his army. The main leader over there, he was called Ibn Ziyad. Yeah, he was in charge of all this, but he was Yazid's man. Yeah, so around 22,000 people, they were on Yazid's side, they were the majority. And who was in less in number? The people of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But here, remember the rule. Imam Hussein told us, it's not about the power. It's about the principle. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu has taught us, stand with the truth, even if you have to stand alone. Sometimes in life, when everyone is against you, it could be at school, it could be at home, it could be someone else. If everyone else is telling you to do something wrong, you don't just follow that. If any of your friend tells you to do something, you know it's wrong. That's not the right thing to do. It's a bad thing. You don't just follow your friend. Oh, my friend said it, I have to do it now. Yeah. My friend said, Friday night, come out, we're going to go out, we're going to go for a chill. No. You need to ask your parents. If you're going to go out somewhere, go out with your family. You don't go out without the permission of your parents. Yeah. So stand with the truth, not with the wrong. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I will give everything, I will sacrifice everything, but I will not give my hand in the hand of Yazid. I will not accept him as the next Muslim leader because he doesn't fulfill the criteria. So this is one important lesson we learn from Karbala. Okay? So who's going to repeat this lesson to me? What lesson do we learn from Karbala? This lesson that I've just explained.
Always stand with the truth.
With the
even
truth.
If a mountain is like falling on you.
Yes, always stand with the truth.
Don't give in to evil.
Don't give in to evil. That's a nice one. Nice way to say. Don't give in to evil. No, if there's evil happening, don't just follow it. Don't just fall in the trap of evil. No, you got a brain. Use your brain. Yeah, you know what's right, what's wrong. If you know that's wrong, you stay away from it. Yeah? It's like when you're driving. When you're driving a car, toy car, you're driving in the park.
Yeah.
You can have some theme parks when you drive cars, you can drive whatever you want. Yeah. And if there's something in the way, if there's danger, you stay away from it. And you don't go into the danger. That's what evil is. Bad things. Yeah? In life, when you know that's wrong, if someone's lying, tell them you're lying. Don't give that side. You know your sister lied and you're giving the side. That's wrong. Like this, you're encouraging your little sister to lie more. She'll get away with it now this time. The parents won't find out. Yeah, but you're going to get away with it. Instead, not in a nice and beautiful way, tell your sister that's wrong. You shouldn't be lying. We Muslims. We are Muslims, and Muslims always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. This is one key lesson we learn from Karbala. Inshallah, we're going to continue discussing the lessons of Karbala. I'm going to come to Inshallah, Brother Arkam shortly. But before that, mashallah, as you know, we've got some kids here in the studio. We're going to get some kids to recite. Do you want to read something? He's got a big diary. I think he's got a notebook with him. Do you want to read something? Come on then. Ibrahim, come on then. Which kalam are you going to read today?
Bulalo phir mujhe ae shahe bahro bar Madina mein.
Well, it's a beautiful kalam in the love of the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. After this kalam, I'm going to link this with our topic as well. Lessons of Karbala. So please make sure you enjoy the kalam. If you're sitting at home, I want you to join in the kalam. If you heard this kalam before, if you heard this nasheed before, try to read it along. You know, it's called, in Arabic, the word is istighatha. In English, you can say we are asking in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, please call us to the beautiful city of Medina. It's a beautiful kalam, the love of Medina Sharif. Listen to this kalam. We're going to link this with our topic as well, inshallah. Come on then. Everyone join in, okay?
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah. Bula lo phir hai mujhe shahe baro Madine mein bula lo phir mujhe shahe baro bar Madine mein phir rota hua tere dar par Madine mujhe bas ye saadat de na daulat de na shohrat de mujhe bas ye saadat de tere kadmon main mar jaun main roh kar Madine Madine mein bula lo phir mujhe shahe bahro bar Madine mein main phir rota hua tere dar par Madine
Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah. Well done, Ibrahim. That was a beautiful kalam. Well recited, mashallah. I'm going to come back to the topic, inshallah, shortly. But I'm looking at the time. Time's just, you know, speeding really fast. So I'm going to go straight to the kids now. You want to read any naat, any kalam you want to read? Which kalam are you going to read to? Come on there.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah. Sallam alayka ya
Habibullah.
Aka tere aane se rang badla zamane ka. Har but
Subhanallah, mashallah, that was a beautiful kalam, well recited, mashallah. I can see a lot of improvement, mashallah, in Hassan now. Mashallah, was well recited. Good lad, mashallah. May Allah bless you. Now, I think Ali's got his half hand up. I don't know what that means. He's got his full hand up now. You want to say something? You want to read or not?
Which
one? Oh, yes. Mashallah, Ali has been learning a new kalam. MashaAllah, Zameen o Zama
tumhare liye. I've been learning it. I don't know a full.
Okay then, you don't know a full. Read how much you know then.
Zameen o Zama tumhare liye, Makin o Maka tumhare liye, Chunin o Chuna tumhare liye, Chunin o Chuna tumhare liye, Bane do Jahan tumhare liye.
Subhanallah. Wow, that was really nice. Well done. I'm impressed. Alhamdulillah, we are in the studio in Bradford today and we're in the segment Lessons of Karbala. However, time is ticking. There's a few more kids who are in the studio as well. So we're going to swap over now. Inshallah, when Uncle calls you, inshallah, our technical team, when they come to you, they'll swap you around safely, inshallah. You can say any lessons you think we can learn from Karbala.
Always be patient. Always thank Allah because, like, even when Ali Asghar was 6 months old.
So who is Ali Asghar?
He's the son of Imam Hussain, the youngest son of Imam Hussain.
He was the baby, only 6 months old baby, son of Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was also there with them who passed away.
And he
them people, he didn't just pass away, he was really thirsty. Even then, them evil people, these people, they did not have mercy.
Did not have
they were ruthless people. Yeah, and these people, so one of them people, they hit an arrow at the baby child. And that's how he passed away. MashaAllah, now we're going to swap the kids there, inshallah. Thank you, boys, for joining us. May Allah bless you. Brother Arkam, we talk about lessons of Karbala. What else?
So one of the important lesson of Karbala is, you know, we describe that Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his blessed family and his companions, they were entrapped, they were in Karbala, they were surrounded, they were in those tough conditions, hard conditions. Even then they didn't miss namaz.
Subhanallah.
They prayed their namaz even in that situation. So it's a lesson for us that you should read your namaz. If they can read...
What if someone's playing football? He's got a football game.
Well, just look, compare the situation. They are surrounded with no water. People are trying to kill them. People are killing them. They still don't miss their namaz. For a little excuse of a football game. Our football game will still be there in 10-15 minutes time if we read namaz. And generally, you see that many people, even when they're doing things like that, they'll still take time out and read namaz. Our life, it should be revolved around namaz. Not namaz revolves around everything else. So first, we should plan when we're going to read our namaz and plan the other activities around that. So then we prioritize our namaz. We make sure we always read namaz. There's never any situation where we can have an excuse to not read namaz. Look, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they read namaz there in that situation. You know, the way they taught us to always tell the truth, to always stand up for the truth, never lie, don't go with those who are liars and those who are doing wrong things. They also told us to read namaz wherever you are. So we should always read namaz, whether we're in school, when we're in our work, when we're playing football games or other games, we should always read our namaz. There's never excuse to miss our namaz. That's one of the main lessons,
subhanAllah. Yeah, and that's how it should be. You know, all the kids watching this program, especially if you become 10, 11 year olds, now you need to make sure you read namaz. Never miss a single namaz. If we say we love Imam Hussein, and we say we love Imam Hussein, then Imam Hussein said read namaz. Imam Hussein practically told us to read namaz, because even in that time where there was so much danger, he did not miss some prayers. Even the Quraysh World Report, the Fajr prayer as well, that was prayed with Jamaat as well that same day.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah. And during the day, it was at this event incidents mainly happened during Zuhr time. Mm. And things just changed around. But during the daytime, early morning, the Fajr namaz was performed with Jamaat as well.
SubhanAllah.
So even in that difficult time, they did not miss the Jamaat. You know, if you look at this whole thing, it's like a battle of two characteristics, two characters. The Husseini character and Yazidi character.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at who we love. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, we all love Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. However, when we look at ourselves, when we look at our own character, who does our character match with? I'll be honest. Is our character, the things that we are doing, the things, if we look at our daily routine, does it match the Yazid lifestyle or Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his lifestyle? That's something for us to reflect upon. We love, we do say and we claim and we do love Imam Hussein, but let's be honest, is this the true love? Is this the true love? Look at, be honest, how many times do you swear? How many times do you swear when you talk to someone? Now some people, every other sentence they swear. Yeah, in 5 minutes, probably 10 times they'll say the swear words. They'll say words which are inappropriate. You can't say in front of the family. You can't say in front of elders. You can't say in front of the sisters. You can't say in front of the kids. They say so many bad words. And you know as well, the kids who are watching this, you know these are bad things. We shouldn't be saying these things. Then, if we say we love Imam Hussein, why is our tongue not pure?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we using bad words in our tongue? Please realize that we need to reflect upon this and ask ourselves which character we are following. So these are some of the lessons we have learnt today from Karbala. Obviously, there's so many more things to talk about. Now it's time for us to move on to our next segment. Did you know?
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We are now in which segment?
Did you know?
We have Norman, we have Shaban, and on this side, we also have another Norman Raza. How are you doing, Norman? You okay?
Yes.
MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. Today, did you guys know what we're going to talk about in this segment? I want you to have a guess. Come on, three of you, I want you to have a guess. The segment is called Did You Know? What we're going to talk about? Obviously, Islamic topic.
Is it about Muharram though?
Is it about?
Muharram.
You can say that it's to do with Muharram, but you can say it's not as well.
I know.
What do you know?
It's the day of Ashura and the day when the martyrdom happened.
The martyrdom took place in Karbala. That's not what we're going to talk about in this segment.
Okay, but is it about the day of Ashura?
Today we're going to talk about two personalities.
Imam Hussein and Hassan.
Today, inshallah, in this segment, we are going to talk about Sayyiduna Imam Hassan and Sayyiduna Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. SubhanAllah, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. These great personalities of Islam. Who are these people? And someone please tell me. I want the kids to tell me first. Who is Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein?
The grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
They are the beloved grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And can someone tell me from Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, who's the elder one? And how older is he from the other one? Come on, Imam.
Imam Hassan. Imam Hassan.
Imam Hassan is the elder son. Yes, the elder brother. And Imam Hussein is the younger one. And what's the age difference?
I think it's probably like 1 year.
Around 1 year. MashaAllah. Well done. You got it right. And Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they have a very high status. Very high status. They are one of the, well, you know, if you look at the history, you know, these people, just look at, if you want to understand who these people are, who these personalities are, you'll just understand from this, these two are the grandsons of the best of the creation. They are the grandsons of the mercy for the universe. They are the grandson of the one who is Habibur Rahman. He's the beloved of Allah. They are the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And this is a huge honor. And they were known in this community as Sibtur Rasul. I want you to remember these titles, okay? Both of them were known as Sibtur Rasul. Yeah, what were they known as? Can you say aloud?
Sibtur Rasul.
Sibtur Rasul. Can you say as well?
Sibtur Rasul.
Can you say as well?
Sibtur Rasul.
Sibtur Rasul. And they were known as Sibtur Rasul. When people used to call them, we used to call them, O Sibtur Rasul. And what does that mean? That means, O grandson of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So people used to call him like this as well. O Sibtur Rasul, O grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And they were also known as Raihanatul Rasul. Raihanatul Rasul. What were they known as?
Raihanatul Rasul.
Can you say as well?
Raihanatul Rasul.
I want to see who says. You know, I want to, this time, I want to get Shaban to say the same word three times. Let's see which one's the loudest one. Attempt number one.
Raihanatul Rasul.
Okay. Attempt number two. You have to do it double now. Come on.
Raihanatul Rasul.
Say it loud again.
Raihanatul Rasul.
MashaAllah.
Your turn.
Okay, your turn as well. You just say it once, please.
Raihanatul Rasul.
You don't have to scream. MashaAllah. Raihanatul Rasul.
Raihanatul Rasul.
Yeah. Raihanatul Rasul. Does anyone know what it means? So Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were both known as Raihanatul Rasul. What does it mean?
I think it means the inheritor of the Rasul, of the Prophet.
The inheritors. No, it doesn't mean that. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they were known as Raihanatul Rasul. Subhanallah, it's amazing, beautiful thing. It's something that you smell. It smells so pleasant. What could it be?
Scent of Rasul.
When you go into a garden, what do you smell?
Fragrance, you know, the flowers.
Yes, got it right. Raihana means flower. And both of them are the beloved flowers of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to love Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein so much that Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, these two, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, these two are my flowers in the dunya. He told everyone, these are my flowers. And Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught us that you must love both of them. And you know how much you should love them? You should love Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein more than even our own family. Even more than someone. What does a person love? Generally a person, what does a person love? Money. What else?
The mother.
Parents, family. Food. Some people love food. Like wealth, belongings, house, cars. These are things that people love. You know, people love their family. From the rest of things, family people love the most, don't they? But remember one thing. How important is it for us to love Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma? We learn from this saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that whoever loves Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, they love me. So loving Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein means that person is loving Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam also said, whoever has hatred towards them, they have hatred towards me. So from here we learn that loving Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein is so important. And loving Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the essence of Iman. It's the necessity of faith. We have to love Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So it's important to love. It's part of our Iman. There's no Iman. We can't be a true Muslim if we don't have love for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, we can't be a true Muslim if we don't love the family of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We have to love the blessed family of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam more than anything else.
Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he actually said, I love the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam more than my own relatives. That's Allah. One of his sayings.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. No, there's so much things that we can talk about today on this topic about loving. But one thing we need to keep in mind as a Muslim is we have to reflect and ask ourselves, which character are we actually following? We claim that we love Imam Hussein. We say, no, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is everything to us. But be honest, ask yourself, am I following the footsteps and the teachings and the principles of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu? I'm going to leave this question for you to reflect. We had a question of the day. What was the question?
The question was, which of the son of Imam Hussein survived?
Survived in Karbala. Does anyone know the answer?
I know the answer.
So you know the answer?
Yeah.
Do you know the answer? Come on then.
I think it was Sayyidina Imam Zain al-Abidin.
Sayyidina Imam Zain al-Abidin radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We'll find out shortly. Look, let's look at the screen first. The answer is Sayyidina Imam Ali Osad. Imam Zain al-Abidin Ali Osad. They are also known as Sajjad as well, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is the middle son of Imam Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who survived in Karbala. And one of the reasons he survived was that he was so ill. Them days he was extremely ill. He couldn't really move. You know, he couldn't really stand and do anything in the battlefield. He couldn't do anything. He was so weak, so fragile. And he was also the only man left behind to look after his family. And it was a huge responsibility on Imam Zain al-Abidin to manage the rest of things for the family. May Allah Ta'ala allow us the true love for the Honorable Sahaba and Ahl Bayt in particular, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah allow us to live our life according to the principles and standards set by our beloved Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I will leave just before anything else, I will leave with this dua. Ya Allah, we love Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, rise us from those people, from those group of people who love Imam Hussein. May Allah Ta'ala accept our hazri today, our attendance. We'll take a leave now. Until next time, look after yourself. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.